We know from our study last week that God gave a tremendous victory, and we continue on in the story because the story does not end here in chapter 14. Sadly, it takes a turn away from resting that I want to share with you tonight, but I want to remind you of Asa's cry unto the Lord in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 14, where we read, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee," or we continue to rest on thee. "And in thy name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." And we know from our study last week that God gave a tremendous victory over the Ethiopian, the Zerah, the Ethiopian that came up against the children of Israel. And they indeed rested in the Lord. But when you turn over to chapter 16, we're a number of years down the road from where we see Asa resting in the Lord, carrying out his due diligence, making sure that the defense cities were built and that the army was maintained and prepared. But I want to read these 14 verses here in 2 Chronicles 16. Let's read what we find here concerning Asa and the next battle that he faced. "In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad king of Syria that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Jon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, Behold, thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host?" Now he's referring back to chapter 14. All right, whenever Asa was relying upon the Lord, he was trusting and resting. All right. "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. Now, this is 3 years right after this event takes place. 3 years afterwards, he comes down with this terrible foot disease, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchers, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. In other words, they offered incense at his funeral. It's not talking about that he was burned, his body was burned, but rather the burning of incense was done for him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we're just going to touch on a few spiritual truths that you have given to us here in this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that we might be indeed a people who are carrying out our duties with due diligence. But Lord, help us not to forget to rest and to rely upon thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, here we find the record given. As time went on in Asa's life, things began to change. Things began to happen. He became independent of God and stopped resting in the Lord. The testimony of his early years was changed, whereby he said, Lord, we're resting in Thee for deliverance. And God gave him a tremendous deliverance over the Ethiopians, who had their chariots and horsemen. And God had showed himself to be very strong and powerful in his behalf. But over the long term, he stopped resting. Now here's the problem that we all face, that as the years go by and as time slips under the bridge, so to speak, as the water goes under the bridge, what happens so many times is that we get into a rut and we start trusting ourselves. All right? Now, there are several principles that I want to share, but I just want to hone in on one in the few minutes that we have tonight as we look at this passage, and it is this. A good record does not mean insulation from wrongdoing. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment. A good record with God does not mean that you are insulated from wrongdoing. We have all met individuals in our lives who were Christians, believers, who over time got careless in their Christian life and began to think within themselves that somehow they were insulated from wrongdoing. I've shared this testimony of what happened with Jack Hiles in his late years, who began to say that whenever he got to heaven, he would stand before God and he would have to give an account of all the things that he had done wrong. And then God would stand and say, but Jack Hiles was a soul winner. And therefore, because he was a soul winner, he is going to be allowed to be delivered from the sins that he committed and so forth, and he will get his reward in heaven. Now, nothing could be further from the truth. You don't do wrong and then counter it with doing some good and it come out in the wash. It doesn't work that way. And yet there are people that grow as the years go on. They kind of grow into this sense, well, you know what? I walk pretty close with God. God lets me get away with a few things. I want to share with you a principle of Scripture that when God is using an individual and that person goes away from Him, His chastisement is greater upon them. And I can back it up with testimony after testimony in Scripture. I think of the nameless prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13 that God was using. Boy, he gave a powerful message. And God says you're not to go to anybody's house. You're to go straight home after he delivered that message. But an old prophet came along the way with his cane, came up to him and said, listen, young prophet, boy, that was a powerful message you preached today. Boy, that was just unbelievable. I want you to come over to my house and let's talk about the Lord. Now, God had told him, what? You don't go home with anyone. God knew what was going to happen. Don't go home with anyone. But this guy came couched as a prophet of God. I was a prophet of God once. Come over to my house. And he went over to the house. And whenever they were done eating their meal, God spoke to him and said, you're going to die. Now, why would God do that? Why would God do that, we might ask? You see, when God is using an individual and they disobey, God often judges in a much harsher fashion with that one he was using. Now, that may seem to go against our concept of God, that he's all-loving, that he would never do that. But I want to tell you something. Whenever he's sharpened and honed an instrument, he wants to use it. He wants to use it. And if that instrument refuses to be used, he'll take it off the scene. You are not insulated from sin and wrongdoing as time goes by. As a matter of fact, you need to be more sensitive as time goes by to sin and confess your sin. As I often heard growing up from this pulpit, Dr. Robb, keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. You need to be careful because you see what Asa did as time went on. Asa's greatness and Asa's rulership as king and his walk with God. He was a good king. He was a good king. But he started putting on airs, so to speak. And he began to think that he could do things that other people couldn't do. Have you ever known those? That God does special things with me that he doesn't do with you. He insulated himself in his thinking that I'm insulated from wrongdoing. And when he did wrong, and God sent his... Isn't it interesting? Just like that young prophet, immediately after Asa sins, who shows up at his door? A prophet of God. Listen, O king, you've done wrong. And Asa got angry. Oh, he was mad. He was angry because he had done the smart thing. He wrote a letter to his friends, and his plan worked, didn't it? He got the northern kingdom off of his doorstep, and then he went in and he plundered what they had built and brought all the stones back, and he built two cities with it. Well, isn't that smart? There was just one problem. He wasn't trusting God. He wasn't relying upon God, and the seer reminds him of that, and it makes him angry. Don't you remember? Don't you remember when the Ethiopians came against you and you told God that you were resting in Him? And oh God, it's not a great thing for you to deliver with a great army or with a few. We're going to rest in Thee. Where's your resting, Asa? Where's your resting? You're not resting anymore. By the way, that word rely there is translated in the Old Testament several ways. You know what one of those ways is? Resting. You're not resting in Him, Asa. You're going on your skills. Now understand this. As we get older, our skill set does improve. We get wiser. We've been down the road. But I want to tell you something. As a Christian, the worldly wise things that we learned are still to be filtered through this book. Do I hear an amen? Wait a minute. I've learned a lot in my lifetime. Yes, you have. Filter it through the book. Because what you may have learned is how the world does business. And it may not line up. You see, what Asa did was exactly what the world would have done. What do? You write a letter to the people in your confederacy and say, I got a problem down here. I need your help. But what did he do? How did he go about it? He went to the temple. And he pulled out the silver and the gold that belonged to God. And he sent some of his own gold from the palace. And he sent it up there to make a payment. That's how he got his help. And God said, you've stopped trusting in me. You've stopped relying upon me. As time goes by, a good record does not mean that you're insulated from wrongdoing. Oh, he had taken good actions, reforms. He took courage and removed the abominable idols from the land. He'd made vows, and the people made vows before God to put to death small or great, we're told in chapter 14. Man or woman who would not seek the Lord God of Israel. That was the oath that was taken. Yet, in his own mind, he said, you know what? I'm pretty smart. I'm going to handle this situation without talking to God. I can handle this. I've been down the road, don't you know? I've made lots of good decisions over the years. And my good decision-making process is good enough in this problem. I don't need to bother God with that. Listen, the moment that you think that you can trust your judgment and your wisdom is the exact moment you need to run to God. Now, we need to let that soak in. Years and good record does not mean you're exempt from following God in every decision of life. You're not exempt. And you're not somehow coated and insulated. I remember years ago, Mr. Jones, that used to work on staff here, we were working on an electric motor, and he said, Todd, I want to show you how to fix this. And I appreciated that. I wanted to learn how to fix things. And inside the motor of the grinder that he had out there were some burned wires. And so he put in new wires in there, soldered them all in there. And he said, we got to insulate these. So he had bought some insulation material, and he had a little tiny torch that he had. And he was able to melt that insulation right onto the wire. I thought that was the neatest thing in the world. And right? And he was given instruction. And I said, well, why did you bother doing that? He said, because I want this fix to last. And I've learned over the years that if I take a shortcut with an electric motor, I'm going to pay for it with a fire. All right? Something's going to happen. Well, that was a good lesson for me. And you learn how to fix things and do things right so you don't have a fire, something like that. And that's just normal wisdom gathering that we receive. We're learning stuff all the time. But what happens in a lot of believers' minds, said, you know what, I've been down the road. I know a lot. And my gathering of knowledge is good enough to get me through this situation. I don't need to talk to God about it. That is the most foolish thing you can do as a Christian. Every decision through life, from the moment you're saved until the moment you take your last breath here upon this earth, everything should be filtered through God's holy word and taken to Him in prayer. That, my friends, is resting. But He stopped along the way. Now, we're going to get into several other things here because There's so much truth here of how a good man, a godly man, started to trust, and God is unusually tough on Asa. And you might say he was a little too hard on him, we might think, but not with God, because you see, Asa was God's instrument. And God was dealing with the northern kingdom, and Asa interfered, and he brought Ben-Hadad down. And God said, that's not my timing. You're messing in my area. And God sent a foot disease. Now you talk about something. I don't know anything that's more despicable than foot. I don't even like to watch the commercials for the toe jam disease that they show on there. They have, what is that product that they advertise on there? Then they do it right while you're eating supper. Okay? Do you have these kind of toenails, and they show these grotesque toenails, and you're like, what in this world? And go buy this fungicide, and it will take care of it, you know? There's just something nasty about people's feet, all right? There's something nasty about teenagers' feet, okay? I'm living with them, okay? Whew! They come in from out playing basketball, and they kick off their shoes, and I'm sitting in my lazy boy chair. What in the world is that smell? What crawled into the house and died? And then it's my boys that come running by me after playing basketball. Isn't it? How many of you agree with me? There's just something. Thank you. I'm not alone in this journey. All right. And there's just something about feet. Seeing people's feet, looking at people's feet, and wishing you could get a pair of lawn clippers or something with these toes that are just the nails that are grown out, they look like eagle claws, and people think they're beautiful, you know? Now, the Bible says that there are beautiful feet, all right? Beautiful are the feet of them that what? Preach the gospel, all right? So if you preach the gospel, I can tell you, you have beautiful feet. If you don't preach the gospel, you've got the ugliest feet that a man has ever laid eyes on, all right? Now let me just end with this. You and I cannot afford, I'm going to say this very clearly, you and I cannot afford to wing it in the Christian life. No winging in the Christian life. Well, I can go for a few days without reading the Bible. After all, I've got such a grasp of the Scriptures. Really now? Really now? You miss a few days of Bible reading as a Christian and you go hungry. And you know what I found? That when you dine on last week's meal, it just doesn't taste as good. Have you ever left cold pizza in after a week? And then say, oh, there's a pizza, and you go in there and you take a bite out of that and it doesn't taste very good. I want to tell you something. You can't live. You cannot survive, Christian, dining on last week's devotion. You can't do it. Asa couldn't do it. And God diseased him. And the Bible, it shows, and if you go back to Kings,
it shows that his son actually had to take over in the last year. They overlap co-regency. The last years of Asa's life, he could not even rule the people because the disease so ravaged him that he could not make the decisions that he needed. His wisdom was stripped away, and his son had to come in and finish the reign for him. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? All the wisdom of years was sapped out of him because he chose to do his own thing. He chose not to rest. Now, there's several more things that I want to share with you in this regard, and Lord willing, in Sunday school on Sunday, we'll do that. But I just want to stimulate. This reading of my own in this passage has awakened me. It's awakened me. No matter how long your journey with the Lord, you never come to be insulated from wrongdoing because you have the same heart. You've got the same heart. The heart never changes. It's still wicked and deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So, with that in mind, what should I do? Keep short accounts with God, due diligence carry out my ministry, and rest, rely upon Him for every decision of life. You're never smarter than God. Amen? You're never smarter than God. So no matter how far you are on the journey of the Christian life, you never come to the place where you can start making your own decisions and God can take a rest for a while. He deserves it. I'm going to take it from here. You've just stepped out into danger land, and you'll end up just like Asa. I shared with the teenagers on chapel yesterday about Uzziah. He's in chapter 26. Oh, he was a good man, good king. But you know what he decided to do? He decided to do exactly like Saul. He decided to go in to the holy place and start burning incense. After all, he was king. After all, he had been such a good ruler. He felt he was insulated from wrongdoing. And God took him off the scene. He ended his kingdom. How sad that these men, good men, came to think that they could do things without God's approval and without God's direction and God's strength. That's the danger that lies before us, folks. We're never smarter than God. Therefore, we must totally depend upon Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time tonight and Your Word. Lord, these Old Testament examples, we do not sit back and criticize them because we're so like them. Lord, I am just like Asa. I know that. And we should all know that. That as the years go by, we begin to think, you know what, I'm pretty smart. I handled a situation like this before. And I remember what I did then. But Lord, we need to depend upon You in every situation. You may have a different way to handle it this time. Asa found out the hard way. And as a result, his ministry came to a conclusion. His son had to come in and take over in the last years of his reign because he could not make the decisions that needed to be made. Because the wisdom and the discretion had all been stripped away by this terrible disease. Now, Father, I would pray that You would help us by Your grace to rely and rest in Thee in everything we face and in every decision that we make. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.